Welcome to the Penny Bloom Podcast. Ain't another place that has got more bombast. Romp past your mom, dad's listening to Tomcast. Talking everything that make you sad. We don't want that. We're here to make you smile. Put your mind at ease. Peace, love, and bloom, and always praise Keanu Reeves. This what we about. Get some weed and now. We'll talk until we can't no more, and then we peacing out. Alright, let's go. Penny Bloom Podcast. It's the Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast. It's the Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to the Penny Bloom Podcast. Today, we continue our coverage of John Wick. Today is John Wick Chapter 2, released on February 10th, 2017. Written by Derek Kolstad and directed by Chad Stelsky. I am Colton Robertson. I am joined by Joseph George. What's up, homie?
Oh, what up, what up? Always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, and it is an absolute pleasure to have you. We leveled up. We leveled up. It's a bottom line. Chapter 2 of the John Wick franchise is fucking baller in every sense of the word. How are you feeling?
I mean, I had a gold standard that I kind of laid in John Wick 1 of a shot in a movie at the Brooklyn Bridge, and it kind of fits this bill. It's like last time they were on the ground and they shot Willem Dafoe and Keanu very nicely. Now we're in a helicopter. You know, we're fucking in the sky. We're in it, I don't know. Everything is just, you're right, more grand. We are... We've opened up the world. And then the ending, you know, I'm like, you kind of said, like, that I'm not ready for whatever the world is getting into. And then I see the ending, and I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. We're getting into Westworld territory, man. I didn't know we're going, like, this dude controls New York, the world. I don't know. How is it everybody? Is it... I need to know more. Like, and oh my, I mean, I am coming very, you know, yesterday John Wick 1, today John Wick 2. I'm like, I'm all in. Like, I don't know if I can really stop, you know. It's going to be really, really hard to just not continue. But yeah, no, I'm all the way in. So that this is, it just kept getting grander and grander. I don't know. It just kept going. And I'd say the only thing that I'm not holding back, or like the only thing that like I'd say the first movie has up on this one is like the story felt more meaningful. Like it was at least it was like coming from like a good relationship, you know, good pain. It was like at least if he's going to kill people, at least it's because, you know, I don't know. It's never good, but like it felt better in the first one. This one, right. It was like, it's just pure,
dude's,
you know,
a killer. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and yeah. You brought up something the other day on our first John Wick episode where you talked about how he doesn't want to do it. And I think that's an accurate assessment, for the most part. You know, he doesn't, he retires at the beginning of the movie. You know, he gets his car back and he's out. That's it. I'm done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can respect that, but you can't get out and get back in without consequences. And I loved the way that they portray that in this movie. You know, I love the way that everyone's like, you had to have known, right? Like, John, like, you couldn't get back in and be done. Like, when you got back in, you were back in. You literally said in the first movie, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
He said thinking in the first one? Did he actually? Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I don't think he's thinking anymore.
No, he's back.
But he's back now. Yeah, he knows. He's all the way in. The little pink, you know, if you dip the pinky in, you might see that someone reaches and pulls you in, and that someone was a blood pack, you know. I guess was himself overall, because he did make the, what's it, the, is it called
marker?
Something? Marker, thank you. Yes, that's so cool. Another cool addition to the John Wick world, the marker. I love the coin. I love the marker. I love the call. I love how slow. I love how it's a bureaucracy. It's fucking stupid. Why does it, you know, it's like the TVA. Why do they get a call? They write it down. They send it in a tube. It goes up, and then someone types it in the computer, and then it goes out. Why not just type it in the computer right away? You know, why not just be like, okay, yep, John Wick, yep.
You need to have physical records for the high table. You know.
Okay.
They try to do. I'm assuming they try to do everything as analog as possible, not to be tracked.
Okay, that's why it is kind of old tech, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, it is very old. And I do love that book that had all the, like, because the marker that had the blood thumbprint, but then he also had him, like, a ledger sort of, like, book where you could tell, like, this is all that this dude does. Like, this is, like, his job. Like, and just the idea of, like, a thumb stamp with blood. Not gonna lie, I understand. It's like it is blood and like whatever. We need to bring that back. Like that's just a little prick. You know, people do it that have diabetes. People prick their fingers all the time to, you know, blood. We need to, like, that is an official signature. You know, if you're signing a check, that's, you don't want to prick your thumb to sign a check. You know, you just sign that thing or like a form. But like, if you're, I don't know, if I want to buy like a freaking house. That I would be down to be like
that in blood.
Like, this is in blood, you know. That's me and my thumbprint. It's your blood and your thumbprint. I don't know. It really just clicked with me for some reason.
Cool. That's a cool idea.
No chain codes. No need. You know. You don't need your wallet. You know that it's too much. You don't even need an ID. You can't. It's if as long as you're living, you got blood and you got your thumb. Hopefully. You know, I guess if
hopefully
there are some people that do not.
There are people who lose fingers. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people who don't even have an entire limb. So I guess there are some holes that I have found in my thumbprint blood revolution that I want to start. But we'll be inclusive. We'll find a way.
Life finds a way. It's true. I also thought they did a really good job of making sure you knew that it wasn't slow. Like, there was the they were punching all this in, people were receiving the news.
She was still
inputting stuff, and he was, she goes, order 1111 complete.
That is true. I guess I don't want to make it like bureaucracy and slow. I guess like it could just be streamlined way more, but you're right. They were a well-oiled machine, you know. Yeah. I mean, they were moving, and it's nothing to them. They like, I wonder if, like, you know, cuz John Wick, we hear, like, if anyone hears his name, it's like, holy fuck, like that. But there's no reaction for them. You know, it's just like, it's just their job. It's just, it is, you know, they are just typing in. It is one thing. But, like, I wonder, I don't know, is it just because it's all they do all day, every day? Or is, like, this not even a big contract? This has to be, like, a massive one, though, at the end, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is not normal. Like,
excommunicado.
Does that just mean he's banned from the Continental? Or does that mean, like, we want him dead? Or, like, is the contract separate?
The contract is separate. So Katora, the group that Santino came from and Gianna came from, they took out the hit, and they're a part of the high table. So they've got basically the biggest group of the underground behind them. So they take out a $14 million hit. Excommunicado means he can't use any of the Continental services. Not just staying at the Continental, but where he got his body armor, where he got his guns, where he got his, where he got stitched up in the first one, that's off the table.
Dinner reservations, no longer.
His coins, his coin collection, done. Doesn't matter. That's all through the Continental.
Are his coins... Say he were to go to another person in the Continental, are those coins still have value that way, right?
Yes.
Or is it... Okay,
I don't think the coins are personalized, no.
I didn't know if, like, it was against the rules to accept a coin from someone who is excommunicant, you know, or what, you know, like if
it
that's a...
actually is. It's illegal to perform a service for someone who's excommunicado. So typically that comes with giving them a coin. So if you perform a service for someone who's excommunicado, you die. Like that is the rules.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. You know, they got their rules. That is a service, you know, those coin, it's like Monopoly money, I guess. Yeah. And once you're not in the game anymore.
And I'm fairly certain it is also a mark for death. I don't think the $14 million contract is separate from the excommunicado, but the excommunicado also means he needs to die.
When was, so the $14 million, when was that enacted? Was that at the very end, like an hour delay? Like, that's what he said, like, the, like, he's excommunicado and there's an hour delay, or was...
There's an hour delay on the excommunicado. He can seek those services for another hour. We pick up John Wick 3 right here. Like, we go straight from... We spend that, not a full hour in the movie, but we spend that hour
but
with John.
He uses that hour. Like,
yes, he uses that hour.
I guess this is a very crucial hour. Indeed, very, very crucial. Okay, wow. No, this, yeah, the world, oh man, like that, I didn't know really where it could go, you know, like it's just like, are more people going to want to kill him and like that's it, you know, it's like that, I'm down, like the movies are still a great, like I probably have a great time, but I'm so glad that there's like something else kind of to
it now. There's a threat.
Yeah.
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 Now it's John against everybody. Nobody fuck with John, you know?
Oh, he will kill them all. He will kill them all. Well, spoilers a little bit. There is a chapter 4. So unless he's Jon Snow and resurrects, maybe he doesn't get him. Maybe everyone's still just coming for him in chapter 4. I don't know. I'm just going to let it happen as it happens, you know? I'm not going to think too hard as to where we're going, you know?
No, I mean, like, that's the thing is that, like, this is the thing I appreciate about movie franchises versus television shows, is that in a television show, if season one of John Wick was an 8 to 10 hour television show where maybe it was the first and second movie, we would know a lot more about the world. You would have a lot more to build off of here. And that's cool in its own right, but there's such a freedom in not really having any anticipation for what could possibly happen and just kind of being like, well, now everybody's after him. This is fucking awesome. You know,
it's sick to have to put yourself in this world because, like, now, I mean, the probability is not zero, you know. There is a chance that Brother Ray has it like this, you know, or there's, you know, there it. But now it's getting out of the realm of possibility, you know. But it's fun to like put yourself in that world.
Oh yeah,
and like
we got Lawrence Fishburne playing a Varys, a Master of Whisperers type character.
Dude, why was so much Game of Thrones kind of bleeding through a little bit? I got vibes of it. Like that, like, I don't know why, but I thought it was just funny. And he kind of fit that bill perfectly and just was super on the nose for, like, I don't know. Like, it wasn't, hey, I'm Morpheus and you're Neo, but it was kind of like, hey, you're supposed to be retired or whatever. Like, what a comeback or whatever. I don't know. Like, it felt very kind of, it worked for in John Wick and it worked in real life, which was pretty cool. And like, I don't know. He said, like, you made me a king, you know? And I wonder, cause Lawrence Fishburne, he was popping before The Matrix, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like it kind of went the other way.
The Matrix launched him into another stratosphere. I mean, Lawrence Fishburne wasn't a movie star. He was in movies, and he was a good actor. And he was, I mean, I wouldn't tout him as an A-lister or anything, but he was a leading man. You know, you remember Boys in the Hood? That was, 8 years before The Matrix? There was Deep Cover, which was 4 or 5 years before The Matrix. Like, he'd been around the block for sure. But so
but The Matrix was, I guess, his first.
That, I mean, like, that made him a
blow
household
up.
Fucking
okay.
name, Lawrence Fishburne.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It felt like when they met, it felt very reminiscent of their good times together, sort of. And then at the end, whenever he's in the elevator leaving, you know, he's like, Earl will be your guide. Follow, you know, or like, I don't, it, like, just the way he talked, I thought it was.
White rabbit. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, like, oh my God. Shit. It was so perfect.
Somebody, so, I mean, please get this man a gun. I fucking love Lawrence Fishburne. That's absolutely my line. I loved, there were several lines from him that I absolutely loved. I loved the, that's downright upright of you, Mr. Wick. You know, that's, he's got like this Mad Hatter thing going on that I fucking love. I don't know what it is. I dig it a lot, though.
You know, I had a choice. You gave me a choice, John Wick. I could either remove or take my hand off my neck and shoot you and die, or keep the pressure on my neck. And now, no one sneaks up on me thanks to you. You know, I don't, just his introduction was so badass. And then, like, the, what's the number up to now? You know, and the guy, he's like, 7. And then he goes, oh, we're going to Applebee's after this or whatever, you know? And then, like, all the guys are kind of like, oh shit. Like,
they're
like,
oh,
are
we gonna,
they're
gonna
like,
do
this
thing?
Vlog? And wait, for real? And then, like, you know, he's like, all right, you know, I don't know. Because John looks around, you know, he's counting. He's seeing, you know, seeing his options, what he would have to do if it went down to that. But, the scenes with Lawrence Fishburne were awesome. And
the Bowery King, fucking love it.
It's tough. I'm between two characters, and
he's my character.
He was so good. Like, and you going for him makes me feel a little bit better if I spread the love, but man, was he just so good. Like, he was just on screen for, like, not that long, you know? Like, he really didn't have, like, that much in the movie, but he was, like, by far, like, the coolest standout, like, just person to introduce in the movie.
Definitely the most,
you know,
interesting character introduction, as far as just, you know, he does have that Master of Whisperers thing going on. There's, I am all-seeing. All-knowing, you know, that whole thing.
Dude,
I absolutely love it.
So what's his bag? What is he putting in the pigeons? Like little, like it looked like little chips or like little microchips or like trackers or like, I don't, like, was it, is this how he gets his information? Like, is he truly like Master of Whispers in this, you know? Is he like?
Yeah, no, I mean, like the way this movie touts it up, and this is part of it that makes it extremely fantasy, is that every homeless person in New York works for the Bowery King.
Yeah.
And listens and spreads the word back to him.
Okay. I'm glad. And then also when the hit was sent out, it like showed him releasing a shit ton of doves as well, you know, in that moment, I think. Like, it was like, call, you know, it showed on the analog screen, like on the computer screen, calling this phone number, this phone number, this phone number, and then it cut to him releasing a bunch of pigeons. And I guess maybe, like, he got the, that's just how he informs all of his homeless people.
It could be, like, it could be, yeah.
Like, is that, that's just his network? That's like, I'd say, okay, the Bowery King's got to be in with Brother Ray here. What's his? Okay, I can't keep calling him Brother Ray. What's his? Just Winston. There it is. Winston.
Yeah, Winston.
Is Winston and the Bowery King in cahoots? You know, maybe I don't want to know. You know, I know I'm asking a question that is potentially will be revealed. But
I think the best way to go about it is to assume everybody knows everybody.
Winston, but it doesn't even seem like Winston's the top dog, even though there's like a high table. And like, so if he's not,
was actually, fascinating. I love the John Wick movies, and I've watched them several times. And I remember this, of course. There's nothing ever again that shows that he has this kind of power.
this was just kind of maybe one display, like just.
I mean, it's like so you know he has that power, but he never enacts that sort of power again.
Okay,
and
because I was
know he has a lot of sway, you know, like, and they make that clear. He is an important person, and people do interact with him like he is a powerful man, but. There isn't much you can do beyond this that shows how powerful you are, you know? So like
literally mind control or like just get a whole mob to go like, yeah, it'd be very weird to use it again. But no, it was a very cool display of power. And I think that that's just the whole point is like a look like,
yeah,
dog.
He's like, why am I still alive then? He says, because I said it
I
so.
I deemed it to be, or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, damn, okay, yes, God, you know, you're playing a little, like, this was kind of a little, I don't know, God display
God
here.
For sure.
Yeah, it seemed. And it got me to think, like, back during the movie, because, like, I love whenever fights are just breaking out, like, in public, and, like, there are some times where people scream and run away. But, like, in the subway, you know, like, in the car, like, that's true. I guess it is just New York and fuck. But, like, two people, like, knives. Once knives are pulled out, I feel like that changes the game, you know? Like, if you see two people fist fighting on the subway, you're kind of like, all right, well, I do have nowhere to go. That's not my fight, whatever. But I feel like a knife's pulled out or, like, a weapon, and you're kind of like, okay, now I'm feeling a little more you know, like this is a little different now. But they when the doors open, everyone does scatter, you know,
yeah.
Whatever. But like it got me to kind of like after seeing that display, it got me to think like
how many people know what's happening.
Exactly. And like so that's why they're not freaking out, you know, or whatever. It's like but they need to be watching. Like that's their job maybe, you know, like that's what they're supposed to do and relay back that information. I don't know. Like if the Bowery King has all the homeless people, maybe Winston's got just all the non-homeless people, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, where do these people come? That's the whole where were they at? Was that a well-known location?
That was Central Park.
Okay, so yes, it's Central Park. That is New York City. This is the most populated. Not the most, but like, holy
fuck.
This is
one of the things that makes it really fun to think of the John Wick movies as an amalgamation of several genres. And obviously channeling those things into action makes it extremely unique and palatable. But there's elements of Western movies. There's elements of samurai movies. There's elements of fantasy movies. And they're all amalgamated into an action funnel, which is super fucking cool.
Call that a professional courtesy. You know, like whenever you leave, that's
nice
in your aorta. Oh, dude, fuck yeah. And then what was the first professional courtesy? Because he gave, like, it was the other way around, right? It was, I felt like there was one before that.
It's a callback, it is, but I didn't catch it earlier in the movie, and I thought it was going to come after, and then it never came, so it must have.
Because I remember, what's his name? Let's see, he's Cassian. Oh, little Cassian, that's cool.
Played by Common, who is a talented rapper.
Mm-hmm. But I love, like, their first standoff. Like, whenever, let's see, what's her name? Gianna. I just have to.
Oh, you're all good? You're all good? Yeah, no, it's. We'll just go ahead and pause.
Sorry about that. The good old,
oh, good.
I guess, tornado. Mom told me the same thing my dad told me. Was like, hey, mm-hmm. tornado watch, keep your phone near you. And I'm like, yeah, well, Dad actually did tell me that. I mean, I guess she was like, well, then at least good job. You have your phone near you. And I'm like, okay, well, whatever. But okay.
Yeah. We'll pick it back up. The scene with Gianna. Yeah, that's the scene with Gianna is one of my favorite scenes in the movie. It gives me my favorite shot for sure. Whenever she's getting ready and the camera pans behind her and John Wick appears, and she's genuinely shocked and afraid. I adore
that
scene.
One thing,
I think it's the best set of dialogue in the first two movies that happens between them. I think it's whenever she's like, do you fear damnation, John? And he's like, yeah.
This was a badass way to go out, you know? I mean, I thought, you know, maybe she's trying to draw him in to get to him, you know, like sort of thing. But no, she was like, this is it, you know, I'm going out my way. You know, John still had to do what he had to do. You know, it makes sense. He had to be the one to finish it for the marker and all. But, like, damn. At least he let, you know. I feel like she was gone at that point.
She died.
You know?
Yeah,
it
she
was
died.
Just for
Santino.
Pleasant.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't know what to call that. The rules that are
in
place there.
Yeah, I mean, because if he lets her commit suicide and doesn't put a bullet in her, he's still under contract with Santino.
He can't
escape the marker that way.
I see. It has to be fulfilled. Yes.
He has
okay.
to kill her. Or
it's not even the rules of the Continental. It's just the rule of the pact or the marker.
Yeah,
that's how
the marker yeah.
works.
If,
okay.
if he doesn't do deed, there's no deed done. He's still under
the
marker.
Dude, we gotta make the markers real. That's a pro. I mean, that's a promise, you know. But
what, pinky
maybe not to the level.
For you?
Maybe not to the level of like we'll kill you if you do not do this. But like, just to show that you are promising something of, I don't know, like just yes, you have my blood. Like, what more do you want?
Right.
Sort of thing. I think it is pretty cool. It's a little barbaric, but man. It's sort
Do
of.
Do I look civilized to you? That was a good line by John in the first movie. But this is just balls to the wall action. I absolutely adore that it takes a lot of the beats from the first movie and kind of mirrors them. I think that that's a really cool choice. I like that the revenge is taking revenge against the man who officially got him back in, but also destroyed the house that he fell in love with his wife in and bought with his wife and, you know, all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that was a big no-no there. You know, it's like all these people that are messing with John.
You have a lovely home.
Why?
Buena sera.
Why piss this guy off, you know? And, you know, I guess his reason was like he had to get him back in, and this was for sure a way to get him back in. But, look, couple steps ahead.
Winston, I don't think when Winston talks to him about it and he's like, you fucking idiot, you know, like he warned you, you know, you got what you wanted, sure, you will not live to reap the benefits, sorry.
Like, what do you think he will do once the marker has been
yeah.
fulfilled? He's like, what do you think John Wick
yeah,
that man
was,
will do?
That was the quote that I almost went with. It was the better a better line instead of, but the delivery Lawrence Fishburne has was somebody please get this man.
Somebody
gun. Please.
The police was my favorite. That was,
get
oh, man.
This man a gun.
Yeah.
No, but the line where he goes, you stabbed the devil in the back. You incinerated the priest's temple, burned it to the ground. Now that he's free of the marker, what do you think he'll do? You know, like, you're fucked.
Damn. Winston, man. Yeah, we need to bring back the marker. We need to bring back speaking like this all the time. maybe, you know, why does it have to be killers? Why could not this just be like a non-killing club? I, you know, let's it's kind of their whole game. Like, I don't know. It's kind of the whole point of the marker and everything, though, is that, like, killing is involved. But, yeah, I don't really know how to make it without it.
Yeah, no, and that's what's cool about the John Wick franchise, is that there's no trying to rectify what exists. It's like, this does exist, trying to get by. And that's cool.
It's kind of in, like, Dune, how it doesn't really hold your hand. It's just very, like, this is just how it is. Like, learn the world by seeing it, you know, sort of thing. And kind of how they treat the world, which I really, really like. And but, man, even whenever there is some exposition dumps and they're just saying how, you know, some continental lingo or anything, I want as much as I can get, though. It's like, I like it the way it is, but give me more. Like, I need to know more.
It's
the high table.
Is the sommelier in? He goes back and sees the arms master, which was super fucking
what?
Cool.
Cool. The kind of
would
the
you
back
like a
and
vintage
forth.
Italian? You know, I mean, there's some beautiful editing in this movie for the specific sequences that, like, the sections of it. It's beautiful, and that getting ready, going to the tailor, going to the arms dealer, going to all these different places. That's one, and then paralleling all five fights that he has to get into when the $7 million hit is announced, and showing all of them at the same time. Genius move. It lets you know that
that might be my
it
scene.
It just keeps coming. There's no way to avoid it. It's just it keeps hitting him and hitting him and hitting him, and he keeps fucking going. And I think that's cold as fuck. Just a brilliant choice.
That might be my scene now that I think about it. I had some, like, there's a lot to choose from here, which is always a good problem. But that one is actually probably one. But the one I had was the self-reflection exhibit, full of mirrors. I just a great visual choice. You know, it's an art exhibit, so it's perfect. You know, like, you can just make it however the fuck you want. I thought it was just perfect. Like, perfect.
It's also, there's a cool meta nature to that scene where this is, as far as Hollywood is concerned, very, very unique action movie. It's, and I think putting it in the context of modern art, like the modern age, the modern desire for action blockbusters and pushing the boundaries of what gets your blood pumping and gets you on the edge of your seat and gets you excited, to make that artful and do it the way that they've done it. I feel like there is a little bit of a meta thing going on there where they're like, let's put it in a modern art museum in the end and let's do the whole thing there. Like, that's fucking cool.
It works for in the movie, you know, self-reflection for the characters, whatever. But I really like that too. And it is a weird back and forth I have, because, like, in real life, I don't even want to kill, like, a fly, you know, or like a spider. Like, I don't want to kill anything. But when I'm watching this movie and I'm seeing just countless people die, I can't help but be, like, satisfied. It's this weird, like, I get why thousands and thousands of people crammed into the Colosseum to watch people fight, like, to see someone die. Like, that's like, I hope I never do, you know, like, that is something in real life I hope I never do. But the fact that it is just in a movie medium makes it, like, tangible. I don't know. It is very weird to think about that. But, like, thank God we had to go to Italy for part of this movie. I was, oh man, whenever he was like, she's in Rome right now or whatever for her coronation, I was like, oh, let's fucking go. They shot New York well. But Europe is just naturally, I don't know, I think it just works better on the camera, works better on the eyes. And whenever, I mean, he just pulls up in a building, like, all that ceiling art, that's just up there as he's, you know, just kind of the camera follows him. He's walking through, just showing up all the art on the ceiling. I think it might be the Continental, like, that's there, that he's walking into. But, oh man, it's Italy. It just visually was a step up from the first one for sure. They stepped kind of everything up. I'd say the only thing that wasn't was the gravity, like the how much the story impacted me. Like, I guess I really didn't cry here or tear up really at all. I'm trying to think if there was a moment.
No, there's not.
I don't think like, so. It's, like,
it's an action movie for action's mm-hmm. sake, but it is a little bit more like there's just something heightened about it. And I think that that makes it, I mean, I like it more than the first one. I think it's better than the first one. Better made, better edited, better shot, better. The only thing is, I don't think Keanu Reeves does quite as good as he did in the first one. I don't think he. I don't think he's given the opportunity to.
I know, and I'm not gonna lie. That line that you said of like it's so bad that it circles around to be good. He had a delivery. What like that was sort like? Oh, maybe it was like the I'm gonna kill them all. Like, you tell yeah. them. Like, it was sort of like, I don't know. Like, it didn't, it felt weird. Like, the delivery to me. Like, it wasn't, I don't know. Like, it didn't feel good, at least. It felt like a little, like, it was something, he didn't leave it all on the table. I don't know. Like, it was, I feel like if you're saying that, yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like the delivery was just not the, it just didn't feel like that's how you deliver that line. I don't know.
I took it as unsurety, like not being – like he's always been confident. He's always been that guy. He's always been him. And now
– he's never
truly,
been exposed to this.
Truly,
okay.
Everyone is out after him. You know, he got a taste of that in this movie, but it's nothing compared to what's about to happen. So him being like, okay. tell them – you know, let them know. I'll kill them all. You know, like, I'll do it. You know, and I think you're right. I think it is this, like, he wishes he wasn't in this situation. He wishes he didn't have to do it. But he recognizes he's going to have to do it. And,
kill or be killed, I guess, you know. It's...
Mm-hmm. But, no, I get what you're saying. And there's a line delivery in the fourth one that is extremely funny because I can't spin it that way. It's very, very, it's very simple. Like, it is actually not that good of a line delivery, and I don't think that it wraps back around to being good. It is an actual bad line delivery.
But that was the only thing, the only time in the movie that I was ever like, ah, man, it just felt weird. But the action, all he loves that move of jumping on someone and then like wrapping his legs around him to like bring him down. I don't know. I feel like he definitely did it in the first one. He did it. Maybe twice in this one. I don't know. That could be really funny if he does it once and then twice and then three times and then four.
Oh, yeah. They turned the Yaz up to 10, which I loved. John Wick throws out, like, whenever he's having that bar scene with Common, which is another one of my favorite scenes in the movie, whenever he's like, you killed my ward, someone who I cared about. So, like, no, shit's not forgiven. This is what it is. You know, I don't know how to do anything else. You know, it's got that worthy adversary heat-esque thing going on. And I really, really dig that. And so I loved that sequence. And basically the whole time, Common's saying things and John Wick's going, yeah. And then Common says something and he goes, yeah. You know, like, and it's pretty much the whole fucking conversation.
He's a man of few words, you know. Everyone knows what he's about. It's just everyone knows him. Like he's just that known.
There's actually
a
phone call at one point where someone answers the phone and they say something like John Wick, and then he goes, like the guy on the phone, it's not even John Wick saying, he goes, yeah. You know, like I think there is a reference to it being like they know what they're doing in this one.
That's awesome.
But
that's awesome. Man, I'll have more of a keen ear for the Yaz in the third one because I guess I didn't quite pick him up. I heard a few, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Does it get more like it? Do they keep going? It gets more. Oh, the stairs. I thought that was it. I surely thought. I am like, holy fuck. Three, you know, it was like, it wasn't just the one, two, and then they went again, and I'm like,
it is three flights of stairs. That is no fucking joke. That is no joke. Mm-hmm. That is a great sequence. That is a great sequence of falling downstairs. It is fucking nothing compared to what happens in the fourth movie.
I was like, man, you know, I'm like, oof, after the first one. I'm like, ooh, those do not look comfortable.
And then they
like,
just keep tackling each other down.
It's like they wanted to, almost. After the first one, it's like, well, we might as well just get to the bottom of this shit, you know, like, let's go.
It's gonna happen anyway. Might as well fucking do it, you know? We're not gonna take our time to run back up, you know?
Yeah. They both know, like, are they both in the know that they both have bulletproof suits on, you know? Because, like, whenever they first have that standoff and they just do the three quick shots to, like, the chest, it's kind of, like, out of respect, you know? Like, they could have gone for the head, you know, or whatever, but it's like, no, the game is on. Like, it was kind of like, it initiate, like, they both were down, and it made them both kind of have to run away, and then, like, now the chase is on, everything. I don't know.
I liked the way they both, like, look up at each other, like, oh, okay, you got game. I dig it. All right, let's fucking go, then. You know, like...
Yes, I love... Oh, my gosh.
Dude, the escape through the catacombs is fucking cool, you know, whenever he comes face-to-face with Ruby Rose there, and is like, you know, no loose ends, just one. I loved that.
Oh, man. No, yeah, I don't know. It's this one, at least, if the story wasn't as, you know, gripping or whatever, at least they were like, we're just going to do cool shit. Like, we're, like, we've entered, holy, like, just, we can. We got the first one, we showed you what we can do. Was there more of a budget for this one, assuming? Like, this, it seems that, this is a budget increase and a half. Is the budget even crazier for the third one? Or is it relatively closer to this?
I don't know. John Wick 4, I can assure you, had a much bigger budget.
Okay.
But
so
John Wick 3, I'm not sure.
Because definitely there's a big jump, I feel like, from 1 to 2 in just grandiosity feel. But I'd say maybe from 2 to 3, it might. I mean, if it is that same level of jump, that's crazy. But
twice the budget that the first one did. The first one had a budget of $20 million, and this movie had a budget of $40 million.
That's actually so impressive. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess it is in camera. There's not. Many, like, it's just blood splatters,
and
I get
is,
you, like, at the end of the day, like...
I mean, but they're going to Italy. They're in the streets of
New York.
That's
true, and all those cars, all the, like...
They bought out Central Park for a day. Central Park,
damn.
Man,
it's just,
you know?
Crazy to hear of, like... Because when I think of movie budgets, I'm thinking in, like, the $200, $300, $400 million for, like, a Marvel movie,
the
you know?
The ceiling is John Wick 4, and that's $100 million. John Wick 3 is 75, so we get another jump in budget there.
Okay. Wow.
I would put that on more even footing quality-wise in terms of just, like, being able to perceive the budget. Like, you know, you can feel like something cost a lot to make. Relatively more similar to 2 than it is to 4. Like, 4, I think there's a leap in terms of what it feels like. This is
what a franchise. Yeah. Like, that's like it is so unique. There is nothing. It is James Bond. It is like it, but it's not. It is parts of James Bond. It is parts of like crime classic, mob boss. You know, shit. It is the samurai and western, like the honor code and stuff they have, and all of these things. Like, it's so like. It's just to make you, I don't know, badass. That's the word. It's just everything badass in history rolled into modern times. Like, and I would like to see John Wick if he can wield a, you know, the blade. Does he have skills beyond gunfire? He can't, you know, knives. I've seen that, but I want to see a sword. You know, that is. I don't know. Guns are okay. Efficient. Very nice. But I don't know. It would be nice to see some other weapons be used.
You will see other weapons.
Okay. That's nice. He does use the car. The car very creative with the car. You know, the your kill in the first movie with the run over, bow, bow, bow through the roof, mm-hmm. very good. This one, he uses the car as like a baseball bat mm-hmm. and just dings this dude. That was one of my potential kills because, one, he crashes into him first, reverses, goes back into the guy, which he's already climbing out of the car, so then he lands on the windshield. John is right. He could, I don't know, did he have a gun at this point? Like,
pretty sure.
He could have literally just popped him right there, but he's like, I will let you run. Run. Like, I want you to run so that I can do this most badass reverse swing, boop, ding, and then just ding, you know, like the ring, like the it against the foul pole, like yeah. home run. It's just what I thought, and it was like, holy shit. What a way to open. Like, it was in the opening of the movie, too. I'm like, okay, we're entering a new world. And yeah, it was tough though to see that car go through all of that though. I did say last episode, yeah, it is my dream car.
Well,
it is being fixed up by 2030 Christmas, possibly.
I'm pretty sure Aurelio Services are also Continental.
No.
I'm pretty
sure. So that
sure.
just means, well, it could, the car could still be fixed, but
I
he
guess,
just won't have it.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm guessing
like
that
just,
his services, there's things that toe the line, you know, because I don't think the Bowery King falls under that jurisdiction. I think he's just aware of the underworld. I don't think Aurelio is aware of the underworld and takes part in it, but I don't think he gets like coins as payment or anything.
No.
So
no, he's like, it's a mutual relationship that they kind of have. Like it's he's just, he knows in this business cars will be cycled through. We'll get a lot of, you know, you're going to kill some people. Well, they have cars, so we can fix those cars up and we can sell those cars. Mm-hmm. You know, fair. That's a good business model to me. If you're just okay with the killing part, you know, the morality of it all.
Fuck it. I'm John Leguizamo. Fuck it. You know?
But yeah, I loved the, yeah, we'll have it fixed by Christmas.
2030.
You know, yeah, he was, I don't know, was really good in this one. Every returning character, what, like, I don't know, it is really cool just to see how unique characters are. I don't know, like, they have kind of a guy for everything. We have, if you need guns. Yeah, like, it's like the Kingsman a little bit too. Like, maybe that's what I was trying to think of like the room that he was brought into with the suits.
Of.
Yeah. With the suits and stuff. Daredevil, a little bit of the, you know, when in Kingpin, how they have their suits made reminded me of that whenever he was getting tailored. Like there's just all of like just really cool aspects of things thrown into this, I don't know, massive just action hodgepodge. And,
right. Did you
it
recognize
works.
The sommelier, like, the guy who was the arms dealer? Did he look familiar?
Was he the in Passenger? I think he is the bartender. I think he's like very similar. Like, I think he's the bartender that talks to Chris Pratt. I think, but should I know him from somewhere else as well?
He is in another Chris Pratt movie. He's in Guardians of the Galaxy. He's one of the Nova Corps. He's one of the main Nova Corps dudes who we get to know.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay. What the hell is this on his IMDb page? What? He's like a, it's like Blue Beetle, but the Walmart version of it. What is, but it doesn't even, I don't know. But I do see Passengers on there. So I think, okay. But yeah, definitely Nova Corps as well. But yeah, Peter. Am I looking at the right guy?
Serafinowicz?
Yes, Peter. Yeah, there he is. Rick and Morty as well. Okay. But, wow.
And there's another place you might
know him from.
I feel
like there was one more. Oh.
He is the voice in episode 1 of Star Wars of Darth Maul.
The voice of Darth Maul in, like, The Phantom Menace?
Mm-hmm.
He's the voice of Maul?
Mm-hmm. Says one line.
What does he say? Do you know it?
It's I can't remember off the top of my head, but he says something like, about how we will finally reveal ourselves, my master. Or like he's like, I'm going to kill a fucking Jedi or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. And that's just, they couldn't have Ray Park just wasn't like, I don't know. They needed a voice actor for that one line. Interesting. Okay.
Ray Park's never done the voice for Darth Maul, even in live action for Solo.
I mean, I was just going to say, like, for one, if it's just one line in the movie, do you really need to pay? Like, I mean, shit, I'm glad that dude got paid, you know, for that one line. Good on him. But
yeah, Ray Park must sound like shit.
Yeah, I guess maybe he does. Maybe the dude's just purely visual. He's like, that's all I can do.
Must just not have that voice, I guess.
But is there any other, let's see, I'm trying to think if I recognized anyone else from anything.
I mean, Chuck Wootiewoogie, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. The High Evolutionary is in one scene where he talks to Gianna. Yeah, talks to Gianna before she dies. The black guy she has a meeting with.
Yeah. I guess that was part of the movie that, like, I guess if there's only one part of the movie that kind of got, like, jumbly or kind of like, well, I guess I did have to deal with the whole customer service thing in the middle of this movie. So that was fun. But it was kind of during whenever Rome and the coronation and all of the Italy stuff was, like, the early goings of it. It was after he got all suited up. I guess it was, I don't know, I think in between him getting suited up and actually getting the kill and then after the kill was kind of just a whole jumble for me. But I don't think I'm missing anybody. I don't know. I felt like there was one other person that I recognized from somewhere.
I mean, Peter Stormare, the guy at the beginning. Abram, the guy who does the whole, you killed him with a fucking pencil.
Yes. Yeah. What is he from?
I mean,
a ton
of stuff. Peter
what
Stormare.
Is he from?
Did you ever watch Prison Break?
Yes. Is that what I know him from?
He's the guy who gets loaded with bullets, who, you know, did the RICO case and stuff. I don't know if you remember much of the details. I don't. I know that he was in Prison Break. He was in, I mean, The Big Lebowski and, or no, maybe Fargo. It was Fargo. So he's been in a few
maybe
good things.
Maybe it is Prison Break. I guess he was in Constantine.
He was the devil.
He was
Satan.
He was the devil. Okay, yeah, that's what it is. I'm like, it wasn't feeling right. I'm like, I know I watched Prison Break, but I'm like, it just didn't feel okay. He was the devil. There we go. That was it. That was definitely it. It was just early on in the movie. That's why I'm like, I'm trying to think of all the, I'm like, in Italy? I'm like, no, I don't think so. And I'm like, no, it was just, they had his car. Maybe that was the professional courtesy. Was that it?
He's shot, like, consider
whatever.
This a professional courtesy. Like, I'm
so it
not
wasn't even
you.
With Common. It was yeah. actually just kind of. Yeah. It's just a thing in the biz, maybe, you know, that they say. Because also, I'll be seeing you. Like, is yeah, like when you yeah. when you know you're gonna die. Oh my god, that was so cool. Like see you in hell, kind of. But like, I don't know. Like it.
I'll be seeing you. Sure.
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't a yeah, it was a sure. Okay, that's right. It was, yeah, sure. Did he say a little yeah, sure?
There was no yeah there. It was just sure.
Just a sure?
Yeah.
Just sure? Because what did he say to Viggo last time? He was like, because Viggo said it to him. He was like, I'll be seeing you. He goes, I think he was like, yeah, I'll be seeing you. I think he maybe repeated it to him.
We got the D&D line.
Mm-hmm. Oh, was that it? Was that
like,
when we brought it up?
Maybe
that could
have been the D&D line.
Mm-hmm. But... no, this one, I don't know, I, and that's just the world kind of building they do. It's just, it's so cool. It's terrible for me to, like, want this life. I obviously do not want to go down this route, obviously. But, like, there is part of my brain that is, like,
this is so
I
badass.
Would love, oh my god, if I could have this ability, yes. Like,
here's the
thing. Like,
I'd want to be the concierge at the Continental. I'd want Sharon's role. I'd want Lance Reddick's job. You know,
that's
who I want to be.
That's much better. There's the business side that I'm not thinking of, you know. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, it, not doing the killing, but like, is it a Tyrion thing where it's like, yeah, you're not the one killing,
you're
but like
a
you're
party to it for sure. But you know, mm-hmm. you got to have a certain brain on you to live with that for sure.
Yeah, I
love Sharon in this movie. Also, by the way,
I think he's the character I will have to go
yeah,
with because
wonderful
like,
guy.
Love the Bowery King, and I'm more because you gave him the nod that I want to spread the love. But man, this dude's a real one, you know. Mm-hmm. Just, I think he kind of wanted to watch the dog. I think you know,
oh,
he was
yeah.
kind of like he was like, hey, like no, like I got you, man.
I'll
he's
be
like,
happy
oh,
to
yeah.
take on
like,
those services
yeah.
if you do so desire. And he's like,
yeah,
appreciate that. And then like them just like staring at each other when John Wick mm-hmm. goes to meet with him. But I love when he gets back and he's like, he has been a good dog. He was a great mm-hmm. companion. You know, like we had a great time. Yeah. Love Sharon.
And him picking him up, you know, he goes back to his house. He's like, all right, let's go home. And then, but he's already there. You know, he's like, well, I know where this is going to, you know, he has to take him, I guess, to Winston. Is that the idea that like mm-hmm. he is, Winston is out. Like said to go pick up John Wick
oh,
and
yeah,
bring him
yeah.
to me. Okay, I didn't know if it was like on Sharon's own accord that he was like, "Hey, I know you don't, you know, I know." I guess how did he get there? Did he drive home? Did he walk home? Did he?
They don't really show. They just go, "Let's go home."
I guess,
boy.
Yeah.
And they show him walking up in the pouring rain up to a house full of rubble, and then they sit
yeah.
on the couch and look at a picture. And then Sharon's like, yeah. "We got to go again. Sorry, I know we probably could have just." Gone from the Continental, but
so I guess
Sharon
just maybe took him to his house then, actually.
Could have.
Maybe
could've.
He didn't like he didn't just follow him there and then like popped up, you know. It was like, hey man, we gotta
There's
go.
There's also fascinating time jumps during that time. He shows up to the Continental, then he gets back to his house in the dead of night, and then they get to Central Park and it's day again.
Winston might have more control than we know. You know, the man has control over time as well. Yeah, it's, I don't know. Winston was a close character, but it was for the end. And I'm
I
like,
love that you're considering Winston and Sharon already.
Yeah. Oh, dude. No, this war, like, I'm ready. I'm
the
so
third
in
movie,
that it's like, it's not even funny. Like,
peak Sharon and Winston. That's the best Sharon and Winston movie. So, like, I'm so excited that you're already loving them because that's the movie where you're going to be like, oh, I fucking love them.
That I'm in. Yeah, I mean, I'm already in. I'm 2 out of 4. I'm halfway. Franchise-wise, I mean, there's Star Wars. I love Marvel. I don't know. I don't know if Marvel really is 2 anymore. Which is crazy. I think it is. Like,
Marvel's
when I think
also a giant.
It's so much.
There's a different, like,
yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy is a franchise.
Okay. So, yeah. Then Marvel I won't include. But, like, this is just, I'm, like, I don't know what more I could ask for. It's Keanu Reeves, and it's just action, and it's, I guess, like, I'd want to cry, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's the only thing I'd want. I'd want the story to be a little bit more emotional so I could cry. But maybe I don't. I like just sitting back and watching people.
Oh, yeah. This has its place.
I don't
want
to sound crazy. I feel like I sound insane talking like this. Like saying that I just want to sit back and watch people die at Matt. What is this? I guarantee there's a kill count. Like,
oh,
let's
yeah.
see.
There's got to be. Just in the movies alone.
Like John Wick 1, 77 on-screen death. And then Chapter 2, it rose to 128. And then I'll stop there. I won't.
Good,
I'm not going to read further on, actually. I realized that was a dangerous Google.
It was. It was.
Okay.
I was worried about it. I should have voiced my concerns.
Okay.
I
saw Parabellum, and when I saw that word, I'm like, I click X now. Mm-hmm. I did not see any number. I saw 1 and 2, and I'm good.
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. He doesn't stop killing, you know?
I didn't think so.
No, this
franchise it seems that now he has to kind
Keanu
of...
Reeves. Claiming bodies.
Yeah, I feel like he has to kill more now because everyone is after him, and I don't even know what that means. Is a mom pushing her stroller down the street just going to pull a gun on him? You know, can he go anywhere? Is anywhere safe anymore? It was a worldwide contract. This was, did it say the dollar amount?
14
was there a dollar?
Million.
Oh, so it did say, okay.
It doubled. It doubled
okay.
from what Santino originally put down.
And that isn't that the Continental rule? If you do business inside the Continental, like you incur a heavy penalty, but like I think it was like double, like in the first one, I think someone alluded to be like, no, it'd be like double the price, but it was like worth it to do it, you know, like it's like, I don't give a fuck, I'm doing it still. And I don't know, well, maybe that's just, is that like a common practice just to double the
there's a really good contrast compared to last movie where Adrian Pilecki's character, who tried to kill John Wick, didn't even successfully kill John Wick, actually did kill Harry, though. She gets taken down into that little place and shot. They kill her. Like, Winston orders her dead. John Wick should have died. This is showing, this is another professional courtesy that went, that shows Winston likes John.
I see. Because, yeah, they had the, like, four guys, you know, that would have, which, I didn't bring it up in the first, but, like, aren't they firing, like, in line with each other? You know, like, the two people who are standing across from each other, aren't you, like...
There's a
know.
Moment in this one where John Wick puts a bullet through someone's skull with his foot right behind his head, and I thought, like, you're going
to not be able
to walk. He
came close to shooting his foot twice.
Yeah.
He came close two times to shooting his foot. But with John, I find it, like, he's just that accurate. He's that confident,
right.
You know, in his abilities. He knows where the bullet's going to go. But, like, the execution squad, like, the firing squad that killed... I forgot what her name was in the last movie. I'm at the end. You know, your membership has been revoked, and then
the actress's name is Adrian Pilecki. That's all I know her as.
Oh, so that's who you're talking about then? Okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I guess, like just to maybe they are good killers too, and they just know their bullet's gonna hit and not. I don't know. I just figured that's just like a four people standing in a corner shooting at a central target. Just kind of
doesn't seem good.
No.
Cool visual,
but that's
though.
Okay.
Cool visual.
Yeah,
though.
No, it is really cool. And then having them walk up and, like, those are the first people you see. And I was like, oh, he's calling them off. That's cool. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, let me call off the entirety of Central Park. And I was like, huh? I was like, you know, because, like, the first guys, I'm like, I expected to see them, you know? I'm like, yeah, he's, you know, this seems that he's going to be dying here. I didn't think he'd die, but right, I'm like, okay, right. These guys have to pop up. I did not expect Central Park to be under his power, that's for sure. And yeah, that's, I don't know. It's Winston, I'm glad. I'm glad I get more, or three is the Winston and Sharon kind of movies. I'm very glad to hear that.
And it's a lot bigger than that too, but that's definitely where they hit their fucking stride, be sure. We also get a slight uptick in runtime, 2 hours and 10 minutes, and that's another thing that keeps steady climbing. John Wick was 1 hour and 40. This was 2 hours on the dot. John Wick 3 is 2:10, and John Wick 4 is 2 hours and 49 minutes.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I think by the time I get to there, though, that's kind of what I want. Right. You know, if they made a 5-hour John Wick movie, yeah, I might have to take an intermission, but I'd welcome it. I just feel like that's a lot of work.
John Wick 5, man, yeah, 5 hours? I hope.
Yes. Now it has to be done. Yeah, that is actually too easy. Just keep the runtime up. The budget, just, quadruple it, you know. I don't know what you need to do for
$500
that.
$500 million.
Yeah, just everything five. Yeah. Have five John Wicks. He clones himself. That's where he gets into. He's like, how can I go? You know, I am the best. I can't. There's no team that is worthy of me other than me. You know, so he just clones himself four times. Five John Wicks. 5 hours, $500 million. give me whatever studio. What studio's in charge of John Wick?
I can't even remember.
Does it usually say on the poster? I don't see anywhere. But you're welcome. I'll take just 1% of the movie's total profits.
That's fine and with me. I'll just take that little bit.
Yeah, I guess 1% is massive for a movie. I'd definitely be able to buy that 69 Mustang at that point. That maybe that's my payment. I'll just take the car. That'll be fixed at 2030, and I'll pick it up. Christmas 2030. There we go.
Make it there. But mm-hmm. yeah, no, it's this is definitely a step up, I would say. I think that I enjoy this movie more. I think it's a better movie. The only thing that is a little less is that I don't think Keanu Reeves gets to do as much, and he's still my performance of the movie anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no one else. No one else really gets it there.
If it's anybody else, it's Lawrence Fishburne. Like, and that's...
Mm. I guess I was going to say his... Santino? Santino's
Antonio.
Sister. His sister, which is, I don't know, it's just a very Italian name. It is my blood. I guess it is my motherland, but I don't know. Names. I'm already tough with... Yeah, I'm already like... I already have a hard time with English names, and then you throw a different language in the mix, and then I'm like, okay. It's just letters at that point. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, it just is not going to stick. But, no, I don't know. I think, yeah, Keanu just still takes the cake on this one. Just, he's an action... fucking star. And yeah, it was that only that one delivery that I was felt some weirdness of, but then I didn't really think about that, like, his world changed right there. Like, he didn't know Winston had it like that, you know? Like, and that does change it a little bit. So even my one gripe is kind of not, I don't know, a little, I'm backpedaling on it now a little bit, so.
Well, and it's even... Something that's also cool to remember is that he's been retired for seemingly years, several mm-hmm. years. The first two movies and the third movie take place over the course of like a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So like this is like he knew the owner of the Continental. He knew Winston. But what happened in that time he was gone... And he meets him now, and he sees this, he's like, oh, Winston's different now. You know, like, he's a whole other level now.
You know, oh, I think okay, I guess.
That going on.
Yeah, because, I guess, yeah, he does definitely have history with him. So, I guess, am I reading that right, in that he didn't know Winston had this power before?
I think you're right, yeah.
Okay, because I guess I
think Winston's very careful to not show his cards like this. And mm-hmm. that's how much he trusts John.
Like,
and that's how much he's telling John, like, I fuck with you, dog. Like, you better get the fuck gone. There's only so much I can do, you know?
Yeah. And maybe it's not, like, that this was so unexpected. He might just expect Winston to have more in his bag, but this was not known to him before. Mm-mm. Is like, yeah. I don't know. It was... Like, I was already fulfilled with the end, you know? I'm like, man, what an ending. I think, like, he's just going to let him go. You know, that's I was kind of already thinking that. Like, that he's not going to kill him here. Obviously, there's a chapter 3 and 4. But, yeah, I don't know. I liked the shock at the end. That was crazy. And, yeah, he does just
– cool, man.
He's running – towards the city, but it looked, I don't know what part of the city that is. I guess he has an hour. He can maybe just run to the Continental. I guess. But I will see shortly. Eventually in the opening. But yeah, I guess I'll let the third one happen. Mm. But I don't know, because I am in entering theory mode now. That's for sure. I mean, I'm just assuming he goes and gets strapped up. He is like, I have an hour. I'm going to get guns. I'm getting a suit. I am doing everything I possibly can.
He also has a giant wound in his stomach.
That's longer than an hour. Yeah, that might eat up a lot of that time.
That sucks. Keep that in mind.
Did forget about that one. Yeah, I did forget about that one.
But, my favorite scene of the movie, though, and it's brief. It's a quick scene, but I had to go with it, is whenever John walks in, gun drawn, into the Continental, looks at Sharon and goes, I'm here to see Santino D'Antonio. And he's like, he's in the lounge waiting for you.
Yes, the little grin that he gives. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I loved that from him. But
walks in, and Santino's all cocky. He's like, you can't fucking touch me here, dog. And if you do, it's just going to get worse for you. I could stay here as long as I want and never eat the same meal twice. How about it? Fuck with me. Just shoots him. I love Winston in the background the whole time being like, John, Jonathan. He's the only guy who calls him Jonathan. Jonathan, be careful. Just walk away, Jonathan. What have you done? And the whole movie being spent giving you an idea of the weight of this action. Like when they are in Rome and Common and him burst through the window and they're like, do we need to remind you what happens? And they're like, no, sir, we're good. We'll put it away. We're fine. And then seeing just how much he does not give a fuck. And again, John being an idiot and a in denial about his actions, whenever he puts a bullet in his head and he goes, what have you done? And he goes, finished it. You didn't finish shit, bro. This is the start. You got to know they're coming for your ass now. Like, what do you mean finished it?
Yeah. I mean, like, finished this chapter. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's what you finished.
Finished
you
him.
Opened up a whole new one.
Because now he's killed a member of the High Table.
Two, right? Or she was being coronated, so she wasn't quite yet.
They were they were in the process of switching.
Okay, yeah. So, and yeah, they kind of alluded to the other members. They were just kind of very blatant, like the ethnic groups. Like it's just kind of around the world. Mm-hmm. There's members of the High Table.
12 seats at the High Table.
Like kind of. I don't know. Like, it reminds me of Batman, the Court of Owls. Is that what they call it? Sort of thing, where it's like this, secret society. Sort of,
the shadow council that runs the world and nobody knows, you know?
Yeah. Man. Yeah, this, I thought that it was just, I don't know. I didn't know the world was like this at all. I just thought it was just the world as we know it sort of thing, you know? Like,
far
just,
and away, the coolest world built by a an action franchise, I should say, because
like,
Mission Impossible, I love the Mission Impossible movies, but that is very, like, there's something heightened about this on an extreme level compared to Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible is also fairly heightened, don't get me wrong, like, that's the stuff
but
that
like
happens
Bourne,
in Mission Impossible, like, should not be able to happen.
But like the Bourne movies, or like even Bond, like the Bond movies, like it's like, yeah, secret society. You're like, oh, well, you know, that is different from my day-to-day, you know, what I take in. But, like, it's still, you're like, oh, very possible. I don't know. It's like it's just kind of normal. But this is not normal. Not at all. Like, this is better. I don't know. That's just kind of what I've gotten at. I when I'm thinking of action now, like, this is this like my, at least right now, the best franchise, that's for sure, that I can action franchise that I have watched so far, and I'm only two in. There's nothing like it. Like it has so many cool aspects of movies that I love, but taken very seriously. Like the silly things that might be joked about before, or like in a movie where it's like whatever, that's like, nah, that's just how it, like, them's the rules. You know, like, and it's like the if you don't follow the rules, you die. Like, that's just, it's just how it is. I don't know, when the stakes are that high, I guess it's heightened stakes. It's, the world is just very cool, unique. I'm never thinking of killing another human in my life. So seeing them drop like flies is just, you know, I don't know. It's not normal.
It is otherworldly. No, it is. Yeah. And that's what's so fascinating about it, is there's such a fantasy to it, that to ground a fantasy like this is fascinating. It shouldn't even feel like, you could set this in any time. Like, this could be this is a Star Wars story. It's The Mandalorian. They ripped it word for word, bar for bar. Season 1, episode whatever the fuck, 2, whenever all the bounty hunters are sent after him and he has to find a way out, he's like, that's John Wick 2 and John Wick 3. And, like,
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe it is just more of a, it is just a mob, just like a classic.
Organized crime?
Crime story. Yeah. It's but in its very unique world. So it doesn't, like on the surface, I wouldn't compare it to like Star Wars or like The Mandalorian, but then like you break it down, it's like, yeah, at the bones, that's just what the story is.
Well, we mentioned its influences. Fantasy, Western, samurai.
There you go. I mean, there's
that's Star Wars.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. This, it's tracking things.
It's just taking all those elements and making an action movie instead of taking all those elements and making science fiction. You know what I'm saying? Like, go two separate roads there.
It is a unique, what a blend. Like, yeah, I think I couldn't ask for I do like the sci-fi, but it's almost in a way better, like that it is grounded in the real world. Like, I don't, like, it is, I don't know, very strange to even describe, but because I'm a sci-fi fan at heart. Like, I don't know. Like, if anything, sci-fi, it could be the shittiest movie of all time. I'm still probably going to like it. If it just has anything to do with aliens or time or robot, anything, I don't know. Just, I'm fucking in. But this is just great. Like, I really, really, like, can see that it is a stunt person at the helm. Like, this is, like, they know how to shoot action so well. Like, I don't know. I think that's what you want in an action movie. You want someone who knows the fight, like, who knows the act, like, the actual movements and time dedicated that you need. And I don't know, just the area that you're going to need to make these moves. I don't know, just everything that goes into it, which I'm ignorant on because I don't even know how to throw a punch. But they know. I mean, that's just second nature to them. But to someone like Chris Nolan, you know, one of the greatest we have alive right now, but he, I don't know, I don't take him as a fighting man, you know? Trust the experts, you know? It's just people see through different lenses, and, like, this is so clearly, like, just action lens. Like,
action,
we're just going to give you...
made by action performers. Yeah.
Yes. Like, we're going to give you the coolest shit we can think of. And it's, like, budget well spent, you know? Like, this is, like, in history forever now. This is, like, I don't know. Like, American action, I'm kind of, like, it makes me feel even patriotic a little bit, which I don't like feeling at all. But it's like,
right,
it's like,
right.
Yeah, I like, fuck yeah. Like, this is
this
American
is Hollywood,
action.
Baby.
Like,
we're
known for that shit, you know? John Wick is us. So, yeah, it's, I don't know. I am in. I'm trying to think if I've missed. Oh, yes, there was one cool kill that was under consideration, but I'm going with the Mustang home run hit off the foul pole. That is for sure.
I haven't said my favorite cool kill. I forgot about that. Okay. Mine is down in the catacombs. He obviously goes on a series of badass kills there. But my favorite is whenever he comes around a corner and a guy gets the jump on him. And he fires. It doesn't shoot. He's not loaded. He knocks him down. Pins him down with the shotgun, loads it as he's pinning him down, and then pulls the trigger. That's fucking gnarly.
Dude.
That is my pick.
Oh,
for the coolest kill
my
in the movie.
Lord. He had a couple reload kills, too. Like, there was that one, which was sick. I think there's one in, maybe it was like the art museum part when they were up in the museum, maybe. And, like, I love how he, like, he cares about the people that are running at him more, but if he has someone pinned down, he'll, like, wait to kill them.
Yeah.
You know, like, he just waits to, like, and then he pops them in the head.
You're good. You
yeah,
know,
like, I already know you're dead, man. I'm just going to wait because I have you. Like, you're easy now. I think that's just hilarious that it happens often, too. Like, it's not a rare thing. He will pin someone down, shoot four other people, and then kill a person.
I love the,
four
like,
times
semi-angled way he holds a gun too. It's never straight up, it's never straight sideways, it's like this. And I think that's cool. I like,
man,
that
he can gun. I love that quote, that analogy of Anakin Skywalker and John Wick. It just, it is, yeah, like, I don't I don't know. I don't see gun action like this. Like in a, I don't know. Like there's no, like in Taken. Like there are gunfights, but like I guess there's not really a dude who can act like who is John Wick. Like this is, he's John Wick. You know, like it's just he can kill anybody. He's just that. Like doesn't matter. We don't need to know his history. It's honestly kind of I'm glad that it is just pushing forward, and it is just he mm-hmm. is this boogeyman. You know, he is just. A force to be reckoned with, and yeah, I think I don't know. I do like that, but the visual, I mean, shot wise, there's actually like kind of a lot to choose from. The mirror one was like the clear. I even texted you. I was like, oh, I was like, that was a moment when he appeared in the mirror. Mm-hmm. But I really liked. It was early on. It's when Santino comes to his house. I think. No, actually.
It's when he gets back.
He just gets home, yes, and he's walking just through his front door, and there's the moonlight is shining through his windows, and you see the rain on the windows, on the walls as well, like the shadow of the rainfall. Anytime it just shows his front door, it just looks really good. I think that's also a really good idea for a front door. Have a really bright light and a semi-clear door, so you know who's, like, at your door, but they have no idea who's inside, right, you know? Right. It's a very tactical door. And I love, what's Jimmy? Yeah, the cop that pulled, yeah, like, yeah. The...
You working
hey, Jimmy.
Again, Sean?
Yep. You know, or what's, gas leak? Yeah, it was like, gas leak? Gas leak.
Yep.
You working again, Sean? And he just walks away. See you, Jimmy.
See
or whatever.
Jimmy. And Jimmy's like, ah, shit. You know, like, I like that
now
Jimmy.
I gotta deal with it.
In the first one, too, he's like, we got a noise complaint. Everything okay? You know? Right. Well.
I'll leave you to it, John.
Have a nice night, like, John. You know?
Yep. You got it. Okay. Yeah, I wonder if. They probably have it in the police, too, if they got the homeless. They got, well, they don't even got the homeless, but they got the city. They got to be connected everywhere. Oh, no, I'm
It goes
I'm so
all the way
ready.
To the top.
Oh, I know. It's everybody. John Wick is singular. Mm-hmm. It's Truman. It's a Truman show over the span of four movies. Okay, no, I'm going to stop. Now I'm going off the deep end. But kind of. Right now, I mean, the
a
world is
on
him.
A form of Truman, yeah.
Yeah, to kill him instead of just to watch him without his knowledge. Yeah, very, very different.
Different
there.
Sort of Truman, but yeah, but, same thing.
Yeah, man, having everyone come after you. $14 million just so you die. Not even captured alive. Like, not even so that someone can get the satisfaction of your death, just to know that you're gone. $14 million, like, man, that has to feel good.
That has to feel good. I bet it feels fucking awful, actually.
True. Yeah, but like, at least you know
no,
you're
the
at
pride
least worth
you can take in your work.
$14 million.
Yeah.
And we got a pen. We got the pencil. Ooh, that might be the coolest kills. Is we got the pencils? You know, like
we did get the pencil kill.
We get the legendary of, like, he killed three men with a pencil. How does guy even do that? And it's like, well, here's two. I think he got two only here, so it wasn't three. But it didn't. He could have kept going, you know? I mean, it was very...
When he fights the giant dude and he shoots him through the top of the head, like, Jesus
Christ. And
he
still is alive after that. He, like, groans and then he does one final, like, shot. I'm like, oh, my God, dude. Like... Dude had a will, like he had the will of I don't
Sheer
know, like
fucking will.
Yeah, dude was not wanting to die, but yeah, I guess I'm trying to think if are there any other kills I'm missing.
I mean, Ruby Rose's death you mentioned is really really cool. Her name's Ares in the movie, which is dope. That whole sequence, I love the one where like the whole mirror maze. That's a fantastic idea for a gun shootout, a gunfight. Like, that is so fucking cool. And that's what I love about these movies.
Oh, that one kill. Maybe that I mean, it was the most, it maybe, I don't know, not a cool kill, but there, he's, it does the classic thing where like the guy's looking one way, he shoots John's reflection, you know,
reaches
and then
the
John,
or through the mirror and gets his ass.
Like, is it, does it just, you think he heard where the bullet came from and that's what got him to like, you know, did he just go off sound? Because like,
I think he also goes off where the bullet hits.
And he, yeah, just,
a direction like he can
was
discern
so cool.
a way.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
There's also the one where the guy's like peeking around a corner and he shoots his foot and then shoots his head twice through a wall. Very
love
cool.
That.
The museum sequences are fucking sick.
Yeah, that was my, I mean, my scene is because I thought it was just so creative, like just a perfect way to have a cool ass gun shootout sequence and make it suspenseful, make it tricky on the, you know, on the people who were in there. I thought it just worked on every level. And that, I don't know, it was like this. I'm glad that it was a step up. Like I'm like already riding high off the first one. I'm like, man, yeah, this is just the beginning. Like whole, like I don't know. I did not know at all what I was getting into. That's for sure. And I'm at kind of the same place at that I was at the end of the first one, is I didn't think it would really grow to this level, like where it is now. But like I see the expansion that it can make. Like I see how much further they could go, and now we haven't really seen the high table yet, really at all.
Yeah,
yeah. Like in, I would like to see them. It's kind of like in Dune, you don't see the Emperor, but then you know in the second one there he is. I don't know.
I mean, Emperor Palpatine's not in the first two Star Wars movies.
That's fair. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. They're just pulling just all the best parts of just every movie that they could find. And John Wick. I don't know.
John
Wick. What more do I need? I don't know if I'll ever. I'm good off two. And there's two more is the thing. Is like, that's why I'm still so mind blown. I'm just like, I am not even half. I am halfway done. Only halfway done.
We go wonderful places. We go wonderful places. Yeah, man, we got a lot to look forward to here. But do we have anything else we want to touch on before rating this movie alongside the first one?
I think that was it. Oh no. Got through all the kills I wanted to talk about, and that was my last little checklist, so I think I might be ready.
All right, well then before we get to that, I'm going to go ahead and do the plugs. If you would, head to patreon.com/pennybloompod where you'll find over 50 hours of exclusive content, all sorts of book reviews, comic book reviews, movie reviews, and the like. For $3 a month, you can support the podcast financially, which is huge because it costs me money, and I don't make any off of it unless it's over there. Head to Twitter, follow at Penny Bloom Pod, follow on Instagram and TikTok at Penny Bloom Podcast, and remember to leave a 5-star rate and review wherever you might be listening, and download the episode. That is a huge help, and I appreciate it greatly. Thank you. So, rating this one. Feel pretty damn good about it, that's for sure. I like it more than the first one, and it's on similar footing with the first one quality-wise, but I'd say even that, it gets a slight bump. How we feeling enjoyment-wise?
Well, last time we were at a 9, and just, I guess, how much of a bump does it deserve is the question from the first one. I don't know if I'm quite at that 10, so it is 2.5, 5, or 7.5. I think, you know, it is in between 2.5 and 7.5. But this, like, it felt like it was, there was more substance. There was, like, even with the less, story grab, you know, like emotional weight, there was just more action thrown at you. They were like, I don't know, it was more cool badass moments, more of that secondhand badassery, you know. We're learning more about the Continental, how it all works and everything, and so it is more, but I'm thinking like 9.5 is where I'm kind. I think it is kind of in that middle. It's almost to that 7.5, but not quite yet. I'd say.
I respect that. I would go either 9.25 or 9.5. It's not a 9.75 for me. I'm like, okay. When I think about what we've given 9.75s in the past, I'm like, we gave the Grand Budapest Hotel a 9.75.
Okay. Pause. Yeah. I'm going to the Grand Budapest Hotel first. So that is fair. Very, very fair.
No, so that's the sort of thing where I'm like, when we get north of 9, you're getting really fucking nice.
We're there.
You know?
Yeah, like, I guess 9 is already there.
9 is already absurd. So, like, 9.25 was more where my gut took me, but I could get with a 9.5. I don't mind that.
I kind of like just that, the slight bump, because the action they did step it up. Like, I in my head, I was kind of like, how can you make just bullet, you know, killing people at mass over and over and over again entertaining? But they did.
They manage it.
Yeah, every time. Like, I'm never tired of him, like, killing people, which is very weird to say. But it's like, it never gets unsatisfying at any point. So, but I don't know. I did really like the whole, my wife died.
Yeah.
Here's this. Like, I liked the emotional part of the one. Now I'm strictly on the world, kind of. Like,
the first movie is definitely more personal. It makes it more emotional. It makes it more intimate. And I think that affects my enjoyment a great deal. I just think this movie is a bit more fun. Because of that, I think I can only give it a 2.5 bump, personally. I think the same goes for Critical. I think I wouldn't put it as much better than the first one.
A visual bump for sure. Like, there's a quality and just, I don't know, just very beautiful shots. Just in a helicopter often now. I think they utilized a helicopter often, which was nice. The action sequences, instead of just like John Wick's house, you have that mirror exhibit. Like, they're doing them in really cool places. We're in Rome, we're in the catacombs. All these things. So I think it just, like, naturally looks better, just because the scenery itself is that way.
Well, and they went with a much more industrial palette in the first one. It felt much more black, gray, and not in your, like, oh, this is so gray, muddied, what? Not in that way, but, like, it wasn't as vibrant. It wasn't as bright. It was an interesting. I like the cinematography in the first one. Personally, I would say that the cinematography in its truest form in the first one is on the whole better. But this is more satisfying to look at, and I don't know how to reconcile that.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to say.
It just looks prettier. But the visual language in the first one was stronger, maybe it was just the camera
was
set up
in
just really cool
in the first one
here.
That felt like it was. There was a lot more handheld in this one, and I could tell there was a lot more handheld. There was a lot more, like, I could tell we were shaky cam a little bit, which is fine, but it's not to my liking 100%. I like a steady camera, and I liked that in the first one a lot. But still, I still on the whole think this is better. I think the action, they level up. I think that the supporting characters are more interesting. You know, like, more talk about it. It's probably only a 2.5 bump, but I'm like, I could
That's
even see
thinking.
Myself putting it on the same level, but I'll give it a 2.5 bump.
2.5 shakes it out to an 8.58. So an 86% versus the 83 from last week. If we were to give it an 8.5, it would be an 8.75 total. So
no,
about,
I mean, like my gut would
5
be either
overall.
8.25 or the same as John Wick at an 8.
Then okay. Oh, I see. I see then. I don't think I could put it on the same level. I think there does have to be a difference. I think it does deserve a bump.
Yeah, no, and I'm cool with that. I agree.
For this one. So, and yeah, an 86, a little 3% bump. basically, from the first one.
I agree with that. That's about right.
Yeah, it was just overall a little bit better. And yeah, definitely, it's getting me. It's hooking me. That is for sure. That is certain. I am.
You're
oh
in.
My god. I need to just complete all these franchises that I've needed to get to. I need John Wick. I need Indiana Jones. I need Lord of the Rings. I need just these things that I should get to, that I should have gotten to already. I need to just bang them out right now. But I'm glad I'm finally only halfway through my John Wick journey, but starting off great. That's for sure. So
I love it. I love it. I love it a lot. But yeah, so with that, an 86% for John Wick Chapter 2. Very, very good. Very good movie. And I'm loving that. But with that, come on back next week for John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum and John Wick Chapter 4. That'll be next Monday and Wednesday. So very excited for that. And come back this Friday for The Bad Batch Episode 14. We're on the second to last episode this week, and next week we got the finale, so we got a lot to look forward to. If you're a Star Wars fan, join us there. If you're an action movie fan, stick with us through the month of May. We got a lot heading your way. Die Hard, Hard Boiled, Akira, tons of other stuff. Mad Max Fury Road, lots of good stuff. And I'm so very excited for that, and what better way to kick it off than here with John Wick. But yeah, with that, I'm Colton Robertson. I was joined by Joseph George. Thank you very much, homie.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, and it's always a pleasure to have you. And remember, peace, love, and bloom. And always praise Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Yeah.